It's another QUTV Hawk Talk podcast. You can't see it, but we're jamming out here in the beautiful QUTV podcast studio on a snowy October day. Yeah, snowy October day. And we'll branch off of that here in a moment, but plenty to get to on today's show. Wyatt Randolph, Will Connerly, and Alex Aubuchon across the way. I'm your humble host, Shane Holsey, of course, bringing you this weekly QUTV Hawk Talk podcast. Plenty to get to, but fellas, last night, as of the recording of this podcast on a Monday, Sunday Night Football, one of the games of the year, 37-34, the final, the Cardinals in overtime with 15 seconds left. Field goal by Zane Gonzalez wins it from 48 yards. And the Seahawks' heartbreak continues in Arizona, in Phoenix, in the desert. They've had some heartbreaking losses, let's just say, in that stadium. And we were talking off air, places that either in our days or that we noticed where our teams just struggled to win, whether it was an opponent, a stadium. So, fellas, I'm going to start with Alex because he had a pretty good one. Alex, what was a stadium or a place or a team that gave you trouble? Of course, for those of you who don't know, Alex, a pitcher for the Quincy University baseball team. So he's played baseball for a long time. I'm sure, Alex, you have some of those places that kind of bit you in the you-know-what.
Most definitely. Yes, Shane. Places, players, and teams. I've had it all. You know, there's been a guy that's had my number. There's been a team that's had my number, our number. There's been a place where I just can't succeed. The one I think of the most, you might have actually heard of it. It's U.S. Ballpark, which is where I believe the GLVC plays their baseball tournament there.
Yeah, they have, for sure.
Well, I used to play down there. I'm down from around the Ozark, Springfield area. And the summer team, my travel team that I played for, we would play a whole lot of games there. And we played a lot of games there. We didn't win any of them that I was involved in. In fact, the worst game that I've ever pitched in, I won't get into specifics, but over 90 pitches, over 10 runs scored, under 2 innings thrown, was actually...
That's pretty specific.
Not too specific.
Okay.
11 runs, 97 pitches.
Does not think about it every day.
I don't even remember it, to be honest with you. It was actually against a college team when I was in high school, which makes me feel a little better.
There you go. Already doomed to fail.
I would be lying if I said that I have not thought about that before. As a player playing for the QU Hawks, knowing that, you know, we're going to have to go back there again, and I might have to pitch there again, and it's going to, you know, mean a lot more this time. I'm pitching in college.
Is that still going to
affect me? I don't win there.
If you lose, then I think that would cement the your connection to that place.
That's the ultimate though redemption opportunity.
This is how you break.
Not only conference tournament, it's also the home of the Drury Panthers as well. So you have a couple opportunities. That's a rivalry with Quincy. But I liked what you talked about, right? Seattle Seahawks struggle in Phoenix. Alex Aubuchon struggles at the Ozarks, but there's always an opportunity. There's always a tomorrow for you to potentially overcome that barrier, right?
Of course.
You say on and on and on. You look at the past, but for me, one place, one team that's really given me trouble is the Quincy Hawks. You know, in the inner squads, they just have my number. This going through this lineup, hitting home runs left and right. I mean, so it's kind of a gauntlet. So I've definitely felt where, you know, a team, they kind of have your numbers for a reason. That's mentally you're weak physically, you don't throw 90 miles an hour, or just emotionally you can't have a ton of success sometimes. Some people will have your numbers.
And Alex is squirming in his chair.
I tell you what, I'm sweating a little bit too. That you're not the only person that has struggled with that Hawks lineup, I promise you that. All right, they have quite a few people's numbers.
Yeah.
So don't feel bad about that one.
I'll just give it to him. You know, I'll give him that. That's the number there. So, it's hard though because I can't go back and think of every place I struggled because we have a time limit on this podcast. But I will ask Wyatt. Well, what he was thinking.
Wow, I forgot my name. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's I tell you, I think for me, I think it's more mental than anything. You know, because you can call a place cursed. But I think it is it is all mental. You know, if you've lost there before, you have that mental note in the back of your head, like, oh, I remember when I,
yes,
you know, failed to,
yes,
throw to second, you know, yes, and that just ruined the whole game, you know. And so it's just stuff like that where that mental barrier will always hold you back. So that could even be in professional football right now. And so they go back to this place where they've lost before, and then it just history repeats itself because of mentality.
It's about what's between your ears.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
It's about what's between your ears, Shane. Playing the game from the neck up. Playing with your mind. But also, I mean, it is mental, but I think it's more so in a game like baseball when you're a pitcher, you're the one throwing the ball. In football, 11 players, you know, they all got to be on the same page. It just seems – it's just interesting little kind of nuance that we look into of sports where certain teams struggle. You know, it was a storyline when the Browns, they haven't won in Pittsburgh in it seems like decades and decades and decades. So it's like, okay, we can't win in Pittsburgh. But also, like, some of those numbers, that makes sense. The Browns traditionally haven't been good. The Steel Curtain is really good. So, I don't know. But still, like, there's places where people struggle. Yeah. And then you expose them. But then, when they do win, it's a huge upset. It's a huge story. The odds, plus 20,000. But it's a huge story. When you go strike out the side in the conference tournament at that field that you struggled with in the past, you know what I'm saying? The past doesn't determine what the future is going to hold. So you can rewrite a new story for yourself moving forward.
Exactly. And for me, and I would assume for others that are in that position, it's not even about, you know, huge story or whatever. It's just a personal victory for you. A whole lot of other people, if I go pitch there at that stadium again, they're not going to know the story I just told you guys. They're not going to know a single thing about my history there. That's all on me. That's all in my head. That's all my thing. So if it's just with me, then I should be able to handle that inside myself and take care of business.
As the great Kevin Costner said in a great baseball movie one time, clear the mechanism. Mm. It's what I was always told when I was pitching back in high school in the glory days. Those days are long gone. I haven't stepped on a mound in Lord knows how long, but that was always clear the mechanism. It's just you, the catcher, and that's it.
Almost
pretend the hitter's not even there.
Too long,
the
Shane.
Glory days. Too long. Are you going to make a comeback, though, Shane?
At this point, I've seen him practice like every day. He really wants to be a pitcher.
You could make a comeback. You don't think a men's league's in your future?
Oh, I would love to play in a men's league.
A men's league's in your future?
Slow pitch softball is a big part of my future.
Because ultimately, we all play that last game. But, you know, that love hasn't gone away.
But not Shane. Shane will play till the day he dies. If it's slow pitch softball, though, you know.
Hey, some people do. They just can't get away from the competition. It's what we grew up knowing what we're going to do.
And
there's
nothing.
Some people have summer vacations.
We
just play baseball. Yep. Like, some people go, oh, summer, this and that. And it's like, oh, I just have a good – what'd you do over summer break when you get back to school? Oh, I just play baseball.
Do you ever meet a family that they say they play flag football, but – they really just use that as an excuse to tackle you unsuspectingly?
I haven't had that experience.
What?
Not from personal experience. That might be from your neck of the woods.
Well, yeah, if you meet a girl and all her brothers, like, say they want to play, you know, a sport with you, it's usually just to beat you up.
You're giving us more detail now. I see that. Yeah, because they want to.
Well, that's how a conversation works.
If you meet a girl, you build on it. If you meet a girl and you have particular interest and she has a ton of brothers, yeah, they're going to hit you around and see what you're made of. But I also I played a ton of flag football in my front yard, you know. So I understand that, but the flag really turned into we're going to hit you and on the sidewalk, then you're going to skin your knee, and then we go inside because someone got hurt, you know.
Yeah, the game lasts 5 seconds because you got beat up
football,
in the first play.
Wiffle ball, kickball, somebody beating somebody in the head.
Yeah, see, I avoid the games where there's a projectile going that fast. You know, if a family asked me to play baseball with them, I'd probably pass.
Sports are dangerous. Look at Odell Beckham Jr. yesterday. Mm. Yeah. Another season-ending injury that we have to talk about with another star player. So many star players getting hurt. Sports are dangerous. Even at the elementary level, they're dangerous.
Doesn't it suck how much precaution we take with COVID and everything with the players and they still get injured, you know, like normally? You know, so now it's just COVID's just on top of all that.
Yeah, it's we have 10 players on the COVID injured list, and we have two guys with torn ACLs. So
there's just no players. No, I'm just kidding. But it's like that is just an extra factor.
We had to find a way Shane, to bring up COVID in this conversation.
I mean, it's always, but
can't avoid it.
Yeah, but even just a normal injury just seems so refreshing, doesn't it? Like, that sounds terrible.
I mean,
I
see what you mean there.
Yeah, it's just like you think, oh, when I see headlines, I always think someone got COVID, someone can't play because they got COVID. But then it's like, oh, no, he tore his ACL. He played a sport and got injured like it was a normal day, you know, like, because this
means
happens all the time.
At least playing the game.
Yeah. You know, it's that's just wild. You know, I wasn't expecting that those kind of headlines anymore, but they're still a thing. You know, they got to be careful.
Just comes at you fast, man. What else comes at you fast? Glasnow's fastball, that comes at you fast.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about that. The World Series. You talk about Tyler Glasnow. He throws 100 miles an hour, starting pitcher for the Rays. But could they ultimately execute in that game last night, Alex?
No.
No, and why not? You have runners on first and third, nobody out, pop-up strikeout, and then the guy thinks he's Jackie Robinson. What happened? Why are we trying to steal home? Can anyone paint the picture for me? Because I really can't. I was at a loss for words. I had remotes around. I had a lot of objects. I was trying to refrain from throwing them at the TV, not because I was not because I was just mad. I'm not a Dodger or Ray fan, but I just thought it was so dumb. How do you not score off one of the greatest pitchers in our generation? You have first and third, nobody out in the World Series, and you hit a weak pop-up. Then they have three guys on the left side of the infield. You could just hit a ground ball to the right side. No, you strike out. And then you try to steal home. It made no sense to me, and it was terrible. It was awful, and I hated it.
But just imagine if he succeeded. Everyone would have been like, he stole home.
Yeah, but also, I like that. Yeah, yeah, I like what you say. Because when Clayton Kershaw got pulled, that's another thing. I'm refraining from saying bad words. I'm like, what the heck? He's at 85 pitches. He's cruising. He's retired 7 in a row. He got 2 pitches on 2 outs, and then they pulled him at 85 pitches. What the is what you're saying. And then they bring in Dustin May. He gets a strikeout, right? But I'm not evaluating the decision off the outcome. You wanted to evaluate the decision off the decision. I think it was a bad decision. Even if he gets a strikeout, Clayton Kershaw, if you go deeper, that's easier on your bullpen for the rest of the series. You're trying to win a World Series. Why you pull Clayton Kershaw? So, yeah, even though it worked out, I still don't – my evaluation is not on the outcome, because that's hindsight. That's hindsight for me. You know what I'm saying, Alex? Like,
I mean, hindsight's always 20/20. We always evaluate. This is we're all guilty of it. Sports media is guilty of it. Evaluating the decision after it happens. If it works out, oh, it's the greatest decision of all time. If it doesn't work out, you look like a fool.
Yeah.
Almost no matter what it is.
That's what all coaching is about. What do we do here? Do we go for it on fourth down? Do we execute a 2-point conversion here? Do we do the onside kick? Coaches can win games with their decisions. They get all the credit when they win, and they take all the blame when they lose. So I think that is an interesting part. And really, a lot of times they get no credit when they win and just all the blame when they lose. That's just the job of a leader. But still, it is interesting because of the fact that some of those key decisions, you take Clayton Kershaw, the multi-million-dollar arm, out of the game because the coach deemed he had a predetermined plan and he stuck with the plan rather than adapting to what the game dictated, it looked like to me.
Sometimes that's the sign of a good leader, a good manager. If you have a plan, stick to it. Don't back away from it. If you think your plan puts your team in the best position to win, why deviate from it?
That's true.
Why deviate from it?
What if the game dictates otherwise? So in-game management, reacting, adapting.
Well, I'm sure it came up, you know, like in his reasoning. He's like, do I adapt to this situation? Do I change it? But I think in the long run, your best bet is to stick with your plan that you had originally.
And what if this goes to a game 7?
He might need to come out there.
He might need Kershaw out of the pen.
Yeah, because once you deviate from the plan at all, then you have to keep improvising. It's not like, oh, we can change this one thing and then the plan will go normally. It's, oh, once you change one factor like that, then you have to adapt the rest of the game.
It's just like when you get off your diet.
Yeah,
you eat something bad. Well, I'm just gonna eat everything now because
you're like I've given myself
stick
this,
to my plan.
Exactly. Upstream issues cause downstream issues. One thing changing is gonna change something else.
Exactly.
And that's why I think COVID-19 has changed one thing and it's changed everything else. especially for student athletes. How routine oriented are you? As a pitcher, I'm going to do my bands. I'm going to do my warm-up. You get in such a routine. I'm going to wake up at this time, go to weights at this time, do this at this time, do homework at this time. You're routine-oriented. You're routine-oriented. You all have routines in morning and evening. But those routines get disrupted. It causes chaos for everything.
Yeah. It can throw your whole day out of whack. If for a team, it can throw their whole game out of whack.
Whole season. When your routine gets disrupted by external forces like COVID-19, it's been a wicked enemy we've all had to compete against now. You don't just have the other team you're competing against, the Drury Panthers. You have your teammates. You have Drury. You also have COVID-19, a wicked virus. That's what the reality is.
And that's why I feel when COVID was just starting and all these leagues were canceling seasons and postponing seasons and thinking about playing all these bubbles and shortened seasons and all this, and these people were, that's not everybody, but there were a select few that were saying these championships should have an asterisk next to them. They're not playing a full season. They're not playing the full 162 games. They're not playing a full 82-game season in the NBA or NHL or 162 in the Major League Baseball. But back to the routine part of it, these athletes, almost more than anybody, are routine-oriented. There is nothing routine about what is going on right now.
Yeah, this season's probably harder
than
most.
This might be the hardest championship ever to win.
Yeah. Yes, 100%.
Yeah, even if it's not physical because of the length, it's mental because of the stress of doing it.
Yeah,
there's so much going on.
Well, the physical stress on your body because there was so much downtime. I think it speaks to a team who can win a championship this season. They were extremely motivated when it's a time when you're not. You don't have to be motivated. You could be quarantined. You could be locked up for months. But it's a team that still found a way to work hard physically, but also stay on their stuff mentally and also stay safe by following protocols to be safe from the virus. So there's just more factors this year. The routine is messed up, but they say adapt or die. And so the teams that can best adapt to the situation will succeed during this time.
And look at a guy like Randy Arozarena. A couple months ago, he tested positive for COVID-19. He was quarantined for a month.
Push-up, sit-up.
All he knew how to cook was chicken and rice.
Yeah.
That's all he needed.
He cooked chicken and rice, did 300 push-ups and 300 sit-ups. I think that was – I'm not sure what exactly the number was. But he did a bunch of push-ups, a bunch of sit-ups,
pounds,
ate
baby.
Chicken and rice, put on 15 pounds of muscle over quarantine, and look at him now. He set the postseason hits record. He's hit 9 home runs in the postseason.
Hey, take notes.
He's become a star.
Yeah, that's all you need, man, is chicken and rice.
Chicken, rice, push-ups, sit-ups. If anyone's taking notes, hey, I want to get a better body. Hey, I want to look better. I want to gain muscle, lose weight.
Yeah, do you want all of these things and not have to go to the gym? Dude, you can do it from the house.
You can, though. It's the easiest. He put in work. He put in the work. And that's an example there of putting in the work, of finding a way to get it done, even when the circumstances aren't ideal. He did the push-ups and sit-ups at home. He ate really well. Gain 15 pounds of muscle. And so everyone always wants to make an excuse for something, but there always is a way. There always is a way. It may not be the easiest way. It may be, hey, the circumstances aren't going for you, but there's always a decision you can make that requires more effort, and usually that's the decision that is the right decision long term.
There ain't no valley, or what is it, mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, whatever it is, doesn't matter.
I think you got it right.
If you have
copyright music.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't go on too long. We'll get.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We sound a lot like him.
Yeah, it's okay. It came up on my phone. That
if you want it bad enough.
Shazam.
Shazam that thing. If you want it bad enough, you're going to have it.
Yeah, definitely.
That's
the internal question that you ask yourself. Look at endurance runners. They say, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? There's a firewall, and I'm trying to get as close to that wall, and that wall is my full true potential, and I'm pursuing that. That's what it is. How bad do they want it?
Always chasing
and
your
that's,
best.
It comes down to the decisions they make every single day.
Also, when you're doing, like, training, nothing is better than eating chicken and rice. I know that from personal experience during football. So I bet that training was probably like tedious because it's the same thing every day. But I bet that is the best way to train.
It really is.
You pick one food
If you're motivated, it's not tedious.
Exactly. Like you're busy. You're doing it. But if you get a food that's really strict, and then you get a workout that's really strict,
Follow it.
That was I bet that was a streamlined weight gain, streamlined work. Like
stick to the plan.
Like that's probably the best way to do it. The way he did, because there's so many fad diets, so many like CrossFit, mm-hmm. you know, like weird workout things that you can follow.
Yes,
but if you
is.
Just picked it's the same thing, you'll complex. See the results super quick. Just do push-ups, man.
I've had personal experience with like weight loss and that stuff, and it's like mm-hmm. it's not. There is everybody always wants a shortcut. Everyone's how can I do the least amount of effort and get the most results? But the reality is, there really is in the long term. Ultimately, there is no shortcut. There's no shortcut. If you try to take a shortcut, you're going to have to find a way to make up for it later. That's the sad reality of it for some people who don't understand that. At least in my personal experience, I believe there are no shortcuts. So shortcut means, or I think you fall down a hill, right? And it's just like you slip down. But how do you slip down? If you're trying to get to a top of a mountain, you can't fall upward. You can't fall to success. You know, you have to climb. So you have to make those better decisions. And I think it's pretty tough because you're right, Shane, he was motivated. So he loved those monotonous things. He loved them.
Yeah.
And look, it's paying off. I mean, the proof is in the pudding, as they say.
Yeah. That's what Future wrote a song about that. He said, hard work pays off, and it has for him. And it ultimately does.
Juice, baby.
Yep. Future and Juice World. And yeah, I obviously have to say rest in peace to him.
Absolutely.
I was in quarantine and that's really all I listened to for about a week. Juice World.
It's definitely when that memorial album like dropped. That's all I listened to. I think
Legends Never Die in 2020. Yeah. But the sad
was
thing
that one
is,
Titanic got stuck in my head. Where
yep,
it's just
Titanic.
yeah.
There's 2020, but he also had in 2017 he had a bangers. He 2018 he had bangers. 2019 he had bangers. And 2020.
Well, that's why
four
it's
straight
so sad.
Years of bangers, and that's why. They're kind of comparing him to what the 2005 to 2009 Lil Wayne was. He's literally a legend, and legends do never die. He outlived his life because people still consume his music now.
Have you ever watched some of his freestyles?
Yeah. He goes on for hours. He can go on for hours, and it all makes sense. That's some of the most talented things you could ever see.
How do you do that? Shane, you do talking for a living, man. Like, things come to your head. You're watching a game, and then, you know, whatever the right thing to say comes to your mind. So, I mean, you might have a little, you know, little thought into this. How difficult would it be to just, you know, have somebody put some beats on or whatever and then, you know, just find a way in your mind for an hour to talk about things that make sense? Like, literally just say words that make sense. And sentences that make sense and put things together and just keep talking and talking and going. You can't stop. You've got to keep talking, keep speaking, keep, you know, formulating new sentences, new rhymes, new flows.
Yep. Well, it's all based on stuff you like doing, you know, like people who can talk, like we were talking about Doc, you know, retiring, you know, it's like, it's people like announcers. They love it so much that they can just do it their whole life.
It's not a job to them,
you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's probably the same with Juice WRLD. He was probably he loved the art so much. He loved just coming up with those riffs that he could just keep doing it. He just always, you know. And people did say that he could just do it for hours. And I think that just when you love something and doing something so much, I think it's just so easy. You know, I think it just comes to you at that point.
Definitely, you make a good point that he loved it. Yeah. He loved it. And he was so talented.
He did it all the time. You know, that's practice in itself.
When you're going in there, it's kind of like when you're pitching. How does this guy throw 90 miles an hour on the black and then throw a slider there? Like, that's what maybe Juice, people like that, they could think, how is Dustin May throwing 101 miles an hour at 22 years old? Like, how is Juice WRLD doing this? Well, how is because they've done it for so long. He was probably the guy freestyling in high school, you know, stuff like that. Like, you know, like you get it. And it's tough. Like when you try to freestyle, you have to be thinking about what words rhyme with this word that I just said. Okay, when am I going to run out of words that rhymed here and I need to switch to a newbie and then have these things rhyme? It's tough.
Hard work, lots of practice.
Yeah. Yep, the 10,000, the rule of 10,000 hours, mastery.
Oh man! Imagine getting into like a sport. I was gonna say the rap game, but I guess we're on a sports podcast. Imagine getting to a sport late, and then being successful.
It happens.
Yeah,
it does happen.
Just not very often.
Yeah. Do you think it hurts more just in your mind? You're like, I could have been doing this my whole life. Do you think? Or
that's
do you
the
think,
biggest
or
regret.
You can't think about.
Yeah.
That,
is it? Or do you really just? Or no, do you think that is, you really just have to be like, oh well, no, like this is how it was going to happen.
Well,
anyway.
Anything you do and you're good at, the biggest regret's always, I wish I started sooner.
Yeah.
I wish I started sooner. You know, I really like doing these broadcasting stuff, and I'm like, dang, yeah. I wish I started sooner.
Yeah, I wish I started this like freshman year.
Yeah, talking, that's what I'm saying. If you enjoy podcasts. Something, your biggest regret is always, I wish I started it sooner.
Yeah.
So that's why always, you know, go out and do stuff. Don't so you don't have to have those regrets.
Yeah. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Very true. Very good.
Who
I didn't
that?
Know that was coming.
One of Amen. The it's one. Not just in
the
sports,
great one.
Baby.
One of the greatest ever, like literally ever as an athlete, not just in the sport of hockey.
Wayne, the take great one.
The great yeah. one. That's all we need to know. We'll be back shortly. We'll take a little break. Special little segment coming up for you. It's Halloween week. So, of course, we have to do something Halloween themed. That's coming up and more here on spooky. QTV Hawk Talk. Welcome back, Shane, Alex, Will, Wyatt, all here in the beautiful QTV podcast studio. But to get here, we had to deal with some weather. It is a cold one outside today, unseasonably cold. Highs will not get out of the 30s today, but thank goodness we are inside doing this podcast.
I had to trudge through the snow uphill both ways to get here. You know, that was a shock this morning because I get up in the morning to run, you know, which is a shock I know to everybody. I'm kind of fat, but it's the only time that there's no one around, so I feel like I can you know, just really go full tilt, you know. And this morning I almost ate it. I was running. On the far side of the campus, you know, out by the field. And I just was going through the snow, and I'm like, this will be fine. No, I almost tripped at full sprint. But then I got, you know, and you come back, and you're just feeling, like, really cold and defeated because you almost died. And, you know, it just made the workout so much better. You know, my heart was racing a lot more. You know, I feel like I got a little more done. But that cold weather, man, it was definitely a shock, you know, that snow. I was not ready for it.
You wake up and open the blinds on, what is this, October 26th on the date we're recording this, yeah. And there's snow. It's snowing, and there's snow on the ground. We're not in Canada.
Yeah.
It's snowing before Halloween, and that kind of got us thinking, what's some of the craziest weather we've ever played in or had a game delayed by or anything like that? So I want to kick things off with Alex. What's a memorable game or practice or maybe even a game you've been at where there's been some crazy weather or crazy interruptions or anything like that?
Well, I mean, the craziest like weather that I've played in was when I was 13. It was actually the first time that I had ever started playing baseball like outside of my school. It was a club team. It was the first weekend we went down to play in a tournament in Bentonville, Arkansas. And just, you know, Sunday rolls around. It's time to start playing for the championship. First game of the day, it's like 29 degrees outside and raining. And I wasn't a fan. It was terrible weather. I had to pitch. I had no idea that it was going to be that cold because the two previous days were in the 80s. So I didn't have any long sleeve shirts. It was terrible. I think I threw like two or three innings, but that's the wildest weather that I've played in. But I have had games stopped or, you know, not allowed to play or, you know, just postponed because of torrential downpours that come along with tornadoes. Tornadoes, big problem, you know, down where I am in the Tornado Alley, Southwest Missouri, you know, Northeast Oklahoma, Texas, all through there. We get tornadoes all the time. So, definitely, you know, had some games, I wouldn't say stopped, but postponed because of you know, tornadoes, tornadic weather and such.
You just look over and you see the tornado coming down from the clouds and you're like,
and see it coming.
Now we can go one more.
So I don't know.
I don't think the heavy stuff's going to be here.
I don't know if this is morbid or not, but I was actually in Joplin playing baseball the day that the Joplin tornado hit.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I left before.
Okay.
And then Joplin was leveled.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Lucky man.
Mm, very.
Yeah. That's wild.
Wow.
Will?
Well, I've had a couple of experiences. Yeah. I've been to a couple major league games. I was at a Royals game when I was in high school, just out there because I'm playing a tournament in Kansas City. You play at an 8 a.m. game. You played a couple games Friday night, so you have Saturday afternoon open. So we go to the Royals game. It starts. Yordano Ventura was pitching. Rest in peace.
Rest
against
in peace.
The Angels. Mike Trout was playing. And the game gets into about the third or fourth inning, and there's rain. And we sit at the stadium for about 4 hours because they were playing. They're going to eventually start it. And I tell you, there's about 1,000 people left. Most people just left. And so we eventually, after 4.5, we went to the car. Like, we'll just go back to the hotel because we got to play tomorrow morning. It was like, we really wanted to see this game. And we turn on the car, and the radio's like, we turn on the radio, and they go, and the tarp's coming off the field. And so we get out of the car and go back in, and we showed them our tickets, literally sat in the first row because there was literally nobody there. Like me, my dad, and the kid I played with. And just sat in the first row. The whole team left except me and my dad, like, because the whole team went. Everybody else left. And that happened one time. And then our time, I was at a Cardinals game. They're playing the Braves, and this was the last time they're playing against the Braves this year. In this particular season, and they weren't going to make this game up either because it was their last scheduled game against them. So they're going to get this one in. And it was a huge thunderstorm. Like, I came home, our power was out for 3 days. We were at the game. We stayed at this game too. And that's one thing growing up is my dad would never leave a game. He doesn't leave games. So, and he usually is not a spectator. He works a lot of sporting events, but he never leaves. And so I always feel bad, like, leaving a game because you never know what could happen. And so those are a couple two crazy experiences. I mean, I remember pitching in high school one time when it was pouring down rain and so much mud on the cleats you can't throw. And then the next inning, the pitcher, they get a bunch of sand out for him. And I'm like, what the heck? Like,
where was that for me?
So muddy. And we've had a couple QU games where we've needed heaters in the dugout, and it's been crazy. So those have definitely been probably the ones that stick out to me in terms of dealing with some of the elements, but she's undefeated. Mother Nature is. So it's, mm-hmm. it's tough. And you always see the football players out there with the shirt off and it's 10 degrees. Like, you know, that's kudos to them. They must have red hot all over their body or something.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's weather can be crazy. Cause it can sneak up on you. You know, when I played football in high school, we had a pretty small team. And so we couldn't afford, we had like no players. Like, we had barely enough to play. And you couldn't afford to miss a game during the year. Like, cause we had so few, you know? So if there was rain, we'd just be like, oh, let's still go. Like, it's an away game halfway across the state, you know? And so one time they were like, oh, it's gonna rain tonight, but we're gonna go and see if we can play before. So we played most of this game while it was pouring down rain. And this is football. We were on turf, so it wasn't muddy or anything, mm-hmm. but it was so slick. Like, I was a lineman, and you know, the first move is push forward. And when you have no traction and it's just wet plastic grass, you just kind of fall down, you know, into the next person in front of you. And so that game went on forever, and I was so injured, but I kept playing because we had no players. And then as soon as, like, we came back out for the second half, a lightning bolt struck probably, you know, a mile away. And I was like, thank the Lord, because I was so beat up by that part of the game, and it was still raining. But we played until lightning struck. Like, until we saw lightning. And I always thought that was so dangerous. But we did that with every sport. We did that with baseball. We did that with, you know, like, when we ever play soccer outside, you know, we just wait until there's lightning. And so that was probably the weirdest one because it wasn't delayed until there was lightning going, and then they're like, all right, we're just going to cancel the game.
Crazy. Yeah, I would imagine. So I played football when I was in elementary school, so not to any level. I didn't even play until high school. Yeah. But the games where it was raining and you're playing on grass and it's all, those are the fun games. But when
I wish there was mud. That's what I like. Yeah.
I just imagine when you're playing on turf, it's just a pain.
No, it's the worst. Those muddy games where you're down and like you're causing ditches to be made in the middle of the football field.
Yeah.
Those are so great, especially when you're a lineman, because I would just, I guess I don't know the polite way to say it, like hog wrestle people, just like absolutely just throw them in the mud.
Pancake.
Yeah, maybe. And they didn't care. Like, it was fun. You know, like, linemen love to play in the mud, I guess. But those were my favorite games. But if it's in the turf like that, I just remember that memory was so bad because I was so hurt, and the lightning was such a relief. Like, I don't think I've ever been relieved by lightning. Usually that time I was like, thank you. get me back to the bus. Let's go.
Oh, man. I can only imagine. One that sticks out to me, that was my freshman year in high school. I was on the freshman baseball team. If any of you are from the St. Louis area, you know where Wentzville Holt High School is. And most of you probably haven't been there, so I'll kind of give you a picture of the athletic facility. So it's on the north end of the school. You have two baseball fields right next to each other. The softball team plays on one. It's kind of the JV field, but the varsity team didn't have a game, so we were playing on the varsity field. There's a soccer field, so you'd have the varsity field, and then on just over the third baseline, you have the softball field facing the other direction, and then you have the softball field behind left field and that. So it's just this big expanse of area where these three fields are.
Okay. See, I was following you.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have fields next to each other and a big expanse. Okay.
Okay.
I got it.
So it was windy. This is probably the windiest. I mean, the wind was, I don't even know what the miles per hour was, but it was very, very windy. There was a storm in the area. We were trying to get this game in. And, of course, it was one of those games where we were up, I think it was like 10 or 11 to nothing. You put the backups in, and then all of a sudden it's like 11 to 8, and it's taking forever. We're trying to get it done. And then all of a sudden we just see this cloud of dust because it's all dirt infield. We didn't have turf or anything. Yeah. There's just this cloud of dust just coming from the softball field, and it just blows across the baseball field, and I'm playing shortstop, and I kid you not, I could not see the catcher.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, they, we were still playing.
Yeah.
And the pitcher would throw the ball, and if there was a ball hit to me, I wasn't going to see it till it was 10 feet in front of me.
Yeah.
So that happens. The wind's just swirling, and we're playing. It's not raining or anything. Yeah, there's no lightning.
Something out of Mad Max. You're just like, survive.
And then all of a sudden, our pitcher hadn't pitched for a while. I remember his name was Tyler Hall. This was probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen on a baseball field, and we gave him crap about it for so long. There's a cloud of dust on the infield, and then all of a sudden, we just see a hat blowing into right field, and we see Tyler come out of the dust. He's screaming, "My hat, my hat, my hat." He's chasing his hat in the right field because the wind blew it off his head, and he had to chase it down going into right field because the wind was blowing so gosh dang hard.
Yeah.
That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen
on a baseball field.
And
yeah, that's so funny. Interrupts the game for the hat.
Yeah. He just screams, "My hat, my hat." And of course, we were freshmen, so I would love. Hadn't quite hit yet.
He's got his priorities straight.
I agree with him. I think I'd go for the hat. Imagine that in a professional game. Like, what if the wind picks up and the hat goes across, and you just see one of the players like, "My hat! I gotta get the hat."
Priorities, man. Priorities.
That's the best priority, I think.
All right. No, so, man, with Halloween coming up, we thought it'd be fitting to look back on our days as young lads when we dressed up for Halloween. Some of us might still dress up for Halloween. You're never too old. Just like you're never too old to wear a baseball glove to a baseball game. You're never too old for that. So we thought it'd be a good idea this is kind of a reminiscing type of show, it seems like. We're kind of looking back on our childhood and some of our greatest memories from sports. And one of those being, we've all dressed up as some sort of sports figure or something for Halloween. So we'll go in the same order. Alex, what is one costume you remember from when you were younger, when you were really young, or just recently that you remember that's one of your favorites?
Well, recently, because when I was younger, I'm gonna be quite honest, I was not a big Halloween guy. Like, I didn't like going out and asking for candy or trick-or-treating or dressing up. It kind of just made me uncomfy. But once I came to college, I started embracing Halloween a little more. My freshman year, I dressed up as Bryce Harper once, which, I mean, that worked out well for him because in the following year, he got paid like $330 million. So shout out my boy Bryce. I'm there for you. What about you, Will Kahn? Did you dress up as anything nice?
I have. So we had a guy on our team named Carl Hirsch, and he was from Miami, or he was from Fort Lauderdale. And so he's a Miami Marlins maybe fan, right? Maybe. I had a Miami Marlins jersey, and so I wore a wife beater, like a tank top type thing. And I wore a Miami jersey, and I just had my underwear on, and I wore that to practice.
How about that picture?
That's so good.
Yeah, there was a picture on social media, and they said, "What are you?" And his name was Carl Hirsch from Miami, wearing the jersey. I said I was a Hirsch bag. That's what I said I was. And I had a trash bag with me as well. So, and he was... I was thinking about being like a trash bag one year, just like wearing a like being a piece of trash. But I,
oh, you wear a trash bag with somebody's number on it that you hate, and you're like, oh, I just dress up as a piece of trash.
But his name was Carl Hirsch.
Hirsch bag. That is
he's
genius.
From Florida, and said I was a Hirsch bag. That's what I was for Halloween. And then they always asked for jokes. Do you guys do that? Like jokes when you're trick or treating, or no?
Not a
where
whole
do you
lot
trick
of places.
What are you talking about?
Oh, you never had to. So in St. Louis, like you have to.
They're like, tell me a joke.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. You have to tell a joke before you get any candy.
Huh?
And so my joke was the same one year. Every single person, I said, like it's like the knock knocks or the whatever. I said, why did the basketball hoop fall down? They said, I don't know why. I said, because Shaquille O'Neal dunked on it. Like it's just a stupid joke, but I like got candy every time. So it's
that's a great joke.
Yeah,
you should use that this year.
I will.
Anybody
probably,
you see,
I'll probably be giving it out this year. They probably won't even do it this year because this
trick or treating is going to look a little different this year.
Yeah,
this
virus. Yeah. I've been asking people, and it's
this weekend.
Yeah,
it snowed on Halloween last year. Mm-hmm. So maybe it will this year too.
Yeah, I was asking people about it, and it's so funny because, you know, it's. No one wants to admit that they're going to go out and do stuff, you know, because of COVID. But a lot of people have said that they are, I think. And I think it's fine. I think Halloween would be the best time to do anything, though, because it's the only holiday where you're supposed to wear a mask, right?
He's got a point. Is he breaking? Is Wyatt breaking the
what?
System?
Yeah. Wyatt.
Whoa.
You know?
Gee, I haven't even thought we might need to end on this. That's something else.
Yeah, no. But I'm just saying, guys. I mean, like this
everybody's this, masked up. They're Darth Vader, they're whoever.
Yeah,
Halloween is the COVID safety.
Yeah.
Holiday.
I mean, the only bad thing is people are getting candy from other people.
Yeah,
but I mean, like you should wear a mask anyway. It's Halloween.
What now?
Halloween.
Halloween.
Halloween. So going back to the wearing a sports costume. When I was really young, I was a lot chunkier looking than I am now, and so I went as Babe Ruth.
Oh, I could see it.
Yeah.
I could see
it.
Oh,
man.
And I carried this giant bat with me, and I just hit the crap out of people with it.
I love it.
That is classic.
I
love it.
And I think I even stuffed pillows in there just to make it a little paunchier. My dad would hand me cigarettes. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
He was like, gotta be authentic.
I was going to say,
I should hope
you
gotta
be authentic.
No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. I just eat a big steak dinner and then and go out and play baseball.
Get
like
some
Babe Ruth.
There you go.
That's right. What about it, Shane?
Well, I'm sure you all remember, and myself growing up with a Packers fan, I'm sure we remember the replacement referees.
Oh, yes.
That fiasco. So that fall, I decided I would dress up as a replacement ref for Halloween. I got a zombie mask and a ref shirt, a short sleeve referee shirt that you can buy at like $10 at Dick's Sporting Goods or whatever. We're not sponsored, by the way. That's just what came to my mind.
Not sponsored by Dick's Sporting Goods.
So got the referee shirt and the whistle and a zombie mask and boom, replacement referee.
Yes,
that
sir.
Is so good. That's great.
Oh man, I'm kind of disappointed that you didn't say you dressed up as Aaron Rodgers. I can't
actually.
Lie.
My sophomore year, one of my roommates had a Aaron Rodgers jersey, so I put on the jersey, put on some jeans, baseball cap, boom, Aaron Rodgers.
You discount double check.
Kind of look like him.
Yeah, really. No way.
He does. And he's a good quarterback. That's pretty cool.
Oh, man.
Goodness.
All right.
Well, nobody listening would know that.
True. I mean, if you don't know what Shane looks like.
Look me up on Twitter, Instagram, whatever.
It's too obvious.
Plug yourself right now, Shane. Opportunity.
Self-promotion right there.
I guess we should start doing that, plugging ourselves. That is what podcasts do, right? Shane, plug your Instagram.
Shane Holsey 6 on Twitter and Instagram. Give it a follow.
There we go.
Also follow us on at QTV Hawk Talk on Twitter.
There we go. See, we figured it out.
What's up?
All right, fellas. It's Monday. You know what that means. One last thing. Bears, Rams. Tonight, who we got?
Bears.
Rams.
My gut tells me that the Rams are going to win, but my initial pick, I already submitted my picks on Pigskin Pick'em on ESPN. I submitted a Bears victory, so I'll stick to my guns, even though the Bears are 6-point underdog.
Don't worry about that.
Three of us have the road dog, and Austin or Alex rather is the only one. I know so many Austins and Alexes. It's not even funny.
No, Shane, that's so funny. That's the fifth time in the last 3 days that somebody's forgot my name.
You must have a problem with that if you can remember that well. Fifth time.
At the inner squad on Friday, it happened three times in 15 minutes.
But who was it? People you knew?
Three different people.
Did they just call you?
My baseball teammates that I've known for 3 years.
Did they just call you someone else's name? Like Austin or something like that? Another A name, usually?
They were all A's.
Okay.
Except for one. One person thought I was an entirely different person. But
They're like, Derek.
It is what it is.
You're like, who? You're like, Derek for the party last
week.
We're
here for you, Alex. I know your name, man.
Yeah, I think I know your name.
Thanks, guys. Austin Abishon here for QU.
Austin Abishon.
So some takeaways from the show. Stick to the grind and remember people's names. That'll get you a lot of places in life. So we'll leave it at that for Alex Abishon, not Austin.
You got it.
Will and Wyatt. I'm Shane. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. Have a good one.